Good morning, everybody. I'm Yang Huapeng from the University of Hong Kong. Today, I'm going to talk about Detector, a topology-aware monitoring system for data center networks. This is a joint work with Xi'an Jiao Tong University, Microsoft Research, and the University of Calgary. In large-scale data center, failures happen daily. Typically, in the first year of a new cluster, we may expect 8 network maintenances, 15 router failures, dozens of DNS exceptions, and thousands of machine failures. And these failures may lead to packet losses and latency specs. Sometimes the bug is really difficult to troubleshoot, and it may take up to days to fix the issues. And these failures may lead to service level agreement violation and decreased revenue. So it's very important to have a network monitoring system for rapid recovery in large scale data center. First, let's see typical failures in data center network. Some failures are server down or link down. These failures are called clean failures, and they are relatively easy to detect. In contrast, some failures are difficult to detect, and in practice, we often see the cases where there is a problem with the device, but the device doesn't show any evidence of failure. These failures are called gray failures. Some failures will also cause low rate packet losses on a link, and it's difficult to detect this kind of failure because low rate losses may be covered up by ECMP in data center. Transient failures are also difficult to play back and pinpoint. So we need a monitoring system to be able to detect as many failures as possible. Existing monitoring systems include passive ones, such as CLI or SNMP, and active ones, such as PingMesh and NetNorred. These systems fail to detect at least one type of losses, as I mentioned above, and their overhead is relatively high. For example, passive systems such as SNMP consumes switch resources, and its data is not very reliable. As for PingMesh and NetNorred, they send many probes into the network and generate terabytes of logs every day. The third limitation is that they cannot pinpoint failures without the help of other tools. So in practice, we often use PingMesh or NetNorred to detect failures. After detection, we use other tools, such as Tracert, to localize or to pinpoint the failures. And this separation of detection and localization may cause long latency. So we ask, can we design a better network monitoring system by exploiting network topology? The answer is Detector. Detector is similar to PingMesh in architecture and workflow. So as you can see, there are four components in Detector system: the controller, the pinger, the responder, and the diagnoser. In the first phase, the controller computes probing paths and sends ping list to each pinger to distribute this probing path. In the second phase, after receiving ping list, each pinger sends UDP probes to destination servers called responders. Once a responder receives a probe, it echoes this probe back. And all ping results are collected to the diagnoser periodically, and the diagnoser runs a loss localization algorithm to pinpoint failures. Let's first see the first phase pass computation on the controller in detail. So given a network topology, we can construct its routing matrix. The routing matrix is a 0-1 matrix. And if a link is on the path, then the corresponding cell is 1. else is zero. So the probing path selection problem is, given a routing matrix, select probing paths to send probes to achieve path number minimizing, alpha coverage, and bit identifiability. Here, minimizing the number of paths, we also minimize the probe overhead. And alpha coverage and bit identifiability are two desirable properties for failure localization. So here, alpha coverage means each link is covered by at least alpha paths. And the alpha coverage is to ensure even and enough path coverage of each link. So in the algorithm, we assign a counter, double link, to each link to track the number of probing paths through it. And if the counter is larger, is greater than alpha, then it means this link has enough probing paths through it. Another property is bit identifiability. It means any bit of failed links can be identified correctly. In this example, assume we select path 1 and path 2. And path 1 and path 2 form a probe matrix. So we say this probe matrix is one identifiability. So it means any one failed link can be identified correctly. Here, if link 1 is down, then we can observe packet losses on both paths, path 1 and path 2. If link 2 is down, we can only observe packet losses on path 1. If link 3 is down, we can only observe packet losses on path 2. So we can identify which link is down since the loss observation of each link is different. This probe matrix, however, is not two identifiability because any two failed link will cause packet losses on both paths, and we cannot differentiate. So first is the algorithm for one identifiability. To achieve one identifiability, we need each link must have a different set of probing paths so that the loss observation of each link is unique. So our algorithm works as follows. First, we put all links in the network into a large link set L. Then we select a path, and this probing path splits the original link set L into two smaller link sets, L1 and L2. Note that all links in L1 are on the path, and no links in L2 are on the path. And we repeat this step iteratively. Each time we select a path, the path will split the existing link sets into more but smaller link sets. And in order to get the minimum number of paths, we greedily select the path which can split existing link sets as much as possible. Now we extend the one identifiability algorithm to bit identifiability algorithm. The basic idea is to extend the original routing matrix with virtual links using operation OR. So in this example, the virtual link, link 1, 2, is OR result, is a cell-wise OR result of two columns, link 1 and link 2. So the meaning of virtual link is that if a virtual link is down, we say its corresponding physical links are also down. So after extending the original routing matrix, we then apply one identifiability algorithm to the extended routing matrix. And finally, we will get a bit identifiability probe matrix. So summarizing above procedures, we propose the probe matrix construction, PMC algorithm. So in the first step, we extend the routing matrix with virtual links as said above, and then we define a score for each path and the score of each pass is equal to the sum of link weights minus the number of link sets that this pass can split. And in each iteration, we select a pass with minimal score and then update the scores of the remaining path. So low link weights and higher number of link sets means higher priority to select the path. And this algorithm stops when achieving alpha coverage and beta identifiability. We can prove that this algorithm achieves 63% approximation ratio in terms of the total number of selected paths. And its time complexity is On squared, where N is the number of total paths in the data center network. However, in a large-scale data center network with millions of paths, the algorithm's running time may be more than 24 hours. So we need some optimizations to speed up the computation. The first optimization is routing matrix decomposition. In this example, we can split or we can decompose the original large routing matrix into two smaller routing matrix. This is because the first three links and the last two links have no path in common. So we can apply the PMC algorithm on the two smaller routing matrix in parallel. And the second optimization is lazy update. It means we defer the score update of a path as much as possible until we have two. So specifically, we maintain a score heap for all the paths, and then we only update the score of the top elements instead of updating the scores of all the paths in each iteration. The correctness of this optimization is guaranteed by the submodularity of the objective function of our problem. And the third optimization is symmetry reduction. One important observation is that most data center network topologies are symmetric. So take this 4-array tree as an example. The red path and the blue path are symmetric. So if our algorithm selects the red path, then the blue path will also be selected automatically. Here we show PMC algorithm results of fat tree. As for the running time, take the fat tree 24 as an example. The original number of paths is more than 11 million, and the original algorithm running time is more than 24 hours. After applying each optimization, we can compute the results within 1 second. As the number of probe paths selected is also very small due to the guarantee of the approximation ratio. After computing the probing path, the next step is network probing. So pingers send UDP probes to responders by varying packet length, DHCP value, and source port number. In order to explicitly control the path of the packet probes, we use IP-in-IP encapsulation and decapsulation as a source routing approach. The responder is a lightweight module on destination servers, and it simply echoes probe back, and all states are maintained in pingers. After sending probes, the diagnoser collects the ping results and starts loss localization. So now we have loss measurements for each probing path. And the loss localization problem is, given the probe matrix and the loss measurements, select the least number of links to explain this observation. So this is an NP-hard problem. So we resort to greedy algorithms. So the heuristic is that in each iteration, we select a link that can explain the largest number of probe losses until all of these are explained. So we say one link can explain the loss if this link lies in the path of this probe packet. And based on this heuristic, we propose two simple improvements. The first one is matrix decomposition to speed up the computation, like the optimization, like the first optimization, matrix decomposition. And the second one is to use threshold to filter false positives. And specifically, we define a ratio for each link, and the ratio is the number of lossy paths over the number of all probe paths through this link. And if this ratio is smaller than the threshold, then we filter this link out. So we conduct our experiments on a four radix factory testbed with 20 SDN switches. For packet losses, we classify them into three categories. Full packet loss caused by link down, deterministic partial loss caused by packet black hole, random partial loss caused by bit flips. To emulate these packet losses caused by different failures, we install open flow rules to drop certain packets in the network. And in our experiment, the performance metrics are accuracy and the false positive ratio. First is the sensitivity test of sending frequency. In the first figure, we study how sending frequency affects the system's accuracy and false positives. So here, when the sending frequency is about 10 packets per second, we can already achieve 95% accuracy. And the second figure shows the overhead on pingers. So here, we can see the overhead on CPU, memory, and bandwidth is very small. We also compare detector with two other monitoring systems, PingMesh and NanoRed. These two figures shows that when the overhead is same, that's when the number of probes is same, detector can achieve higher accuracy and lower false positive ratio. We also do simulation in a 18 radix factory to study how the two factors alpha and beta affect probe matrix. Here we can see, from this table, we can see identifiability is more effective than coverage for failure localization because one identifiability probe matrix has higher accuracy than a three coverage probe matrix. And also, here we see two identifiability is already enough in practice because one coverage and two identifiability probe matrix can already achieve 95% accuracy. So in summary, the core of detector is a carefully designed probe matrix enabling fast and accurate loss detection and localization. And also, detector is practically deployable in data center network because detector doesn't require any advanced features in switches such as programmability. Detect also has its weaknesses. The first is about packet entropy. Since we adopt IP-in-IP encapsulation and decapsulation, the range of the destination IP addresses of probes is somewhat limited. Although detector can detect and localize packet losses, it doesn't know where packets are dropped. Finally, we can apply the core idea of detector, the probe matrix, to optimize other in-band network debugging techniques. That's it. Thank you.
time for questions, so the microphone is there. When you come up, please tell us your name and institution. Thank you.
This is Rocky Chan from Hong Kong Polytechnic University. So this is essentially a network tomography problem.
Yeah.
Okay. How many, two questions. First one is, how many pingers do you use? And also second one is, what's the difference between
the first question.
Yeah. How many pingers do you use? The purpose?
How many?
The purpose. The machine that you send pings?
Can you speak it clearly?
Okay. So you have the architecture, the system. So you have machine that send pings, right? The pingers. So how many of those do you have in the system? So can you go back to the diagram for the system? I think it's very early slide.
Here.
Yeah, the pinger, the pooping. So how many poopers do you use in the system?
How many probes?
Yeah, the.
We use here we construct a probe matrix. So on each rack, each server only needs to send probes according to this probe matrix, and usually we have only two or three pingers in.
Okay.
Each rack, and the probes is very small.
So one of the question is usually is the how do you cover the whole network? So the number of pingers and also the location is very important. So can you tell us a little bit more about this? Or we can do it offline.
Okay.
Ananjay from Yale University. So if my understanding to your work is correct, it seems network troubleshooting has been studied in many years. And my question is, what's the key fundamental difference between your effort and all the existing diagnosis systems? For example, like Sherlock published 10 years ago in SICOM, and a lot of diagnosis systems. What's the fundamental difference between them? But because if my understanding is correct, I think I cannot see that the big difference, and so yeah, did I miss something?
So I think the main difference is about the probe matrix. So for existing monitoring systems such as PingMesh and NanoRed, so they send the probes without any plan.
Right. So I think Sherlock also implies some. Some mechanisms kind of like the metric in your work. So that is the reason I asked that question. And another technical question is, I think in practice, maybe it's very hard to generate a very accurate metric because in SDN, sometimes the metric may not exactly reflect the real physical network links because some network paths may not be correctly or successfully installed in the switch configuration. So that's another question for the work because I don't think the metric can be correctly generated.
Our probe matrix is generated from this topology. So,
but how do you guarantee that this topology is correct?
So that here we actually our algorithm is suitable for all topology except for some optimizations. So we only apply some optimization on specific data center topology.
Okay, thank you very much.